Good morning, good morning. You guys glad to be at church today? Awesome. Help me welcome our North Campus and our Maui Campus and all those watching online. Love you guys and thank you all here for being here today. We're in a series. I love the story of David, and we're in a series called The Life of David, The Making of a King. So today I'm jumping right in. This is one of those messages I would love for you to take notes in today. I really feel like today could be a day where if you apply the word of God to your life, things can change immediately. Why? Because today I'm preaching from one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible. We're in the life of David, and today is the day where we're talking about David and Goliath. Anybody else grow up loving the story of David and Goliath? I love this story. It's gotta be a top five event in the Bible. If I could go back in time, I would wanna go back and watch this story play out. So today, the title of my message is Courage in the Face of Giants. Courage in the Face of Giants. Before I jump into today, last week, just to recap a little bit, we opened up the series talking about, the title was The Call of the King. And we talked about anointing. And the day that Samuel anointed David to be king of Israel, he didn't immediately become king. Remember, he was a shepherd at his father's house in Bethlehem, the youngest of the sons, the forgotten son, but he was anointed to be king in the presence of his brothers and his father. David, like I mentioned last week, is just a young boy at this time, early teens, and goes back to the fields to keep shepherding and to stay at his father's house. King Saul is the king at the time. David's the anointed new king. The spirit of God, the anointing of God has left King Saul, but he still has the throne. So fast forward a couple of years, most theologians believe that King David, or David, would have been about 17 or 18 years old when he fought Goliath. So you kind of fast forward to that point. And I kind of want to set the stage today and tell the story from 1 Samuel 17. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along in that chapter. And then once we break the story down, I'll go back and read scripture today. But 1 Samuel 17 starts off with the setting. The setting is the Israelites and the Philistines are at war, and they have gathered at the Valley of Elah. And this image behind me is actually a real life photo of the valley in Israel. If you've gone on a Holy Land trip, we drive right by this valley. Everything is so close together there, it's astonishing. So very close to Bethlehem, just a few miles, very close to Jerusalem. And there's this epic scene. So the Bible starts off in 17 talking about how both armies had been on either side of the valley. And then there's this giant, and we'll get to that in a second, but it's a crazy setting. So I want to rewind though, because then it picks back up in Bethlehem. Jesse, David's dad, brings David in from the fields and he says, hey, I want to send you on an errand to the battlefield. All of David's brothers were there fighting the war. And he says, David, I want to get you some bread, cheese, get you a cart, wagon, and I want you to take food and supplies to your brothers and to their commander. And I want you, when you're done, to come back home and report to me that your brothers are okay. I want proof that they're okay, they're doing well. So on your way, he sends David, and David goes on this, it's just about 6 miles, a trek, and he approaches, and can you imagine the scene as David gets close to this battlefield? He can hear the chants, he can hear the roars of the crowd, and the Bible says he leaves his things, and he runs to the edge of the battlefield. You can imagine him standing on the edge of this valley, looking down into it with both armies there. And again, all of the sounds of the battle, everything happening, it had to be astonishing. As he's standing there, there's this figure. And this, you can imagine this giant figure that the Bible names as Goliath, standing in the midst of the Philistines, walking out, and David hears what Goliath is saying, and he's defying God, he's cursing the Israelites, he's defying the armies of Israel, and David is now on the sidelines of this battle with his brothers, and he's looking around going, who's gonna do something about this guy? I mean, who's gonna do something? For 40 days, every morning, Goliath comes out, and he insults God and the entire army and all of Israel, and no one does anything. And David's going, who's gonna take care of this guy? His brothers start mocking him and saying, you're just here running errands. You're a shepherd. In fact, one of the oldest brother, Eliab, who earlier in the previous chapter, Samuel, as he's approaching Jesse's house, says, this is the one that looks like a king. So Eliab, standing there, the one that looks like a king, looks at David and says, what are you doing? In fact, Where are all the sheep? Who's taking care of the sheep? He's insulting him in front of everyone around. But David is not deterred. He looks back at them and says, I'm going to fight Goliath. And they start laughing at him. And I know all of us think that if we were David, we would act like David. And we would walk up and be like, I will take this Philistine. But let's be honest. We would have walked up and been like, I'm going back home. I'm taking the bread and cheese and I'm leaving. I don't want to take on this giant. So I want to look at just a few facts about Goliath. The Bible tells us that if you look at the math, somewhere between 9'6 and 9'9, Goliath was a massive man. He was from, his hometown was Gath. It was one of five Philistine cities right there on the coast between Israel and the sea. And then also some of his armor details are interesting in the Bible. It says that his bronze breastplate weighed 125 pounds. Guys, that is massive. That's like what I weighed my junior year of high school as a breastplate. I mean, that is a lot of weight to be running around as a warrior on a battlefield. This was a massive, you're making fun of me for weighing 125, obviously. I was a little guy, all right? But he was this massive athlete. Also, it talks about his spear, his javelin. When you do the math on that, the in diameter, his spear in diameter was the same width as a Coke can. This was a massive man. His armor was huge. He was a lethal, lethal warrior. And this is who's coming out every day insulting the entire army. And David walks up, a shepherd, 17, 18 years old, looking around going, I want to take him. That's my guy. I'm going to kill him because no one else is going to step up and do this. So he starts telling people, and somehow it gets back to King Saul. And King Saul brings David in to his own tent, and he starts talking to him, and he says, all right, I don't know if you can do this. And David's like, I can do this. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, if you're going to do it, at least put on my armor. And he starts putting on Saul's armor onto David. And David has all this armor. He fastens the sword on. He puts the helmet on. And he's standing there going, the armor doesn't fit. I can't fight in someone else's armor. You better believe we're coming back to that in a few minutes. I can't fight in someone else's armor. And he starts taking the armor off. And then Saul keeps talking to him and he says, but David, I don't think you can do this. You're a boy. I mean, this giant has been fighting since he was a boy. He's a warrior. I don't think you can do this. And David immediately responds and says, I know I'm a shepherd, but when I was tending my father's sheep, when a lion came and when a bear came, I went and snatched one of the lambs from my flock. I chased the lion. I took the lamb out of the lion's mouth. I struck the lion. I grabbed it by the fur, struck the lion and killed it. Can you imagine being in the tent? They're looking at this like, he's psycho. And then David's like, and then when a bear came, I chased the bear down and I took the lamb out of the bear's mouth. And then I grabbed it by its fur and struck the bear down and killed it. I mean, this guy, that's a bad dude. I mean, he's telling this. I mean, it's true because the Bible doesn't call him a liar. This happened. He killed a lion and a bear in this room full of people. They're looking at him going, we don't have another option. He's the only one brave enough to do it. So he does not walk out with Saul's armor, but he walks out himself as a shepherd. And he goes to a brook, the Bible says, and he takes out five smooth stones. There's so many theories on why he took five, but they're theories, so I'm not going to preach them today, but there's some really cool, interesting thoughts out there. He took five smooth stones and put them in his slinger's bag, and then he approaches the battlefield. Now he's looking at Goliath head on, and Goliath looks back, and he starts laughing, saying, this is the best you have, a boy? And he looks at David, and he says, what am I, a dog, that you come at me with sticks? And he's just making fun of David. And David looks back at him and says, who am I? Who are you that you come at me defying my God, defying the Lord of the armies of Israel? And he says, you come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come at you today in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And David starts running. And then he takes his sling and starts slinging the stone above his head and lets it go. And here's what we know about slingers back then. They had lethal accuracy. If David wanted to hit his forehead, he could. And it was traveling over 100 miles per hour as he lets this stone go. And he tells Goliath as he's slinging the stone, I am going to kill you. I'm going to kill the army. I'm going to cut off your head and leave all the bodies for the wild animals. This dude went from calm shepherd to warrior maniac in like 5 seconds. But he goes after Goliath and strikes him down. Then he takes Goliath's sword. The Bible says he wasn't dead yet. He kills Goliath with his own sword, but then he takes Goliath's sword and cuts off his head and takes his head back to Jerusalem and puts it on a spike to tell the whole world that God was with Israel. It's a really interesting, crazy story. A lot of the Sunday school stories stop at, and the stone knocked the Goliath down, not the giant down. But we see today it gets a little bit more PG-13 R as the story keeps moving. But here's what I wanna do today. I wanna give you a few practical points of application from this story. And I know many of you, if you've been raised in church, have heard this preached many times. But I want you to look at this through a fresh lens today and see if we can apply some new things to our lives because there's so much here. So looking at the points today, if you're taking notes, when facing giants, we need to remember a few things. When facing giants, number one, remember, ordinary assignments lead to extraordinary opportunities. Ordinary assignments lead to extraordinary opportunities. 1 Samuel 17:17-20. I want to start here with what Jesse said to David. Jesse said to his son David, take this half bushel of cooked grain and 10 loaves of bread to your brothers in the camp. Also take 10 pieces of cheese to the commander and to your brothers. See how your brothers are and bring back some proof to show me they are all right. Your brothers are with Saul and the army in the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left the sheep with another shepherd. He took the food and left as Jesse had told him. This is about, I read this whole thing because I want to show you. This is about as mundane as you could possibly get. He's calling David out from the field shepherding after he's been anointed king. David's probably out there trying to work on his humility, staying humble, going, I'm the future king. And my brothers are on the sideline fighting the battles. And I'm here as a shepherd. And then on top of that, now my dad is asking me to be a servant to my brothers running an errand. This is as mundane, menial as you could possibly imagine. But out of this errand comes an opportunity that changes the course of history. Then just a few verses later, as David travels toward and he gets near the edge of the battle, I love this verse, verse 23. It says, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And this part is powerful. And David heard it. I want you to get this. David would have never heard the voice of the giant, which was the gateway and doorway to him becoming the future king. He would have never heard the voice if he never ran the errand. He would have never had the opportunity to face Goliath and I believe to become king. It was God's path for him to become king. He had to beat Goliath to show that God was the God of Israel, but he never would have done it if he wasn't obedient in the small tasks. David did not wake up that day looking for a giant. He was just running an errand. And the truth is this, faithfulness in small unseen things positions us for God-sized moments. So you can write this down. When you serve faithfully in the ordinary, God sets you up for the extraordinary. When you serve faithfully in the ordinary, God sets you up for the extraordinary every single time. I look back in my life, other people that I respect, knowing when God has really showed up in their lives and their calling was fully unveiled. It was never stemming from a mountaintop moment where they manufactured their own opportunity. David was not an opportunist. He was obedient, and the opportunity came to him. And it's the same thing for us. And I want you to think about this. Our obedience today sets us up for our opportunities tomorrow. Being opportunistic doesn't, obedience does. So whatever you're doing in life right now that seems small, insignificant, if God is asking you to do it, and last week we talked about what God is calling you to do and the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit. God has a plan for your life, but God's plan for your life doesn't come from you making all of it happen. It comes from you just doing what he's asked you to do, even if it seems like small, menial tasks. But the opportunity came, but I want you to think about it like this though. What was the opportunity? What came? A giant. Now, if we were there that day, and we were just David's friend. There was no friend in the story, but if we were just David's friend walking with him, and we got to the edge of the battlefield, I wouldn't have looked at David, my friend, and said, hey, I get it now. You were obedient, and God gave you a gift. That guy, Goliath, what a gift. I would have been like, look at you, you're being obedient. And God brought you to certain death. That's what I would have said. Wow, you know, that's isn't that interesting though? Oftentimes, what we view as God saying, hey, you're never gonna make it is actually a giant, which is an opportunity in our life. It's an opportunity. Opportunities often come disguised as giants. So the next time a giant shows up in your life, don't let your first thought be, God has abandoned me. Let your first thought be, if God is for me, who can stand against me? If God is for me, who can stand against me? This giant doesn't stand a chance against my God. Number two is this, the second thing you need to remember, your past battles prepare you for today's victories. Your past battles prepare you for today's victories. So now we're in the part of the story where Saul has heard that David wants to fight Goliath. He's brought him into where he is. And we're gonna pick up in verse 32. David said to Saul, don't let anyone be discouraged. Think about this confidence from this kid. Don't let anyone be discouraged. I, your servant, will go out and fight the Philistine. Can you imagine like, oh, thanks. We're very confident now. I've got you. I've got your back. Then continuing, Saul answered, you can't go out against the Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. Goliath has been a warrior since he was a young man. But David said to Saul, I, your servant, have been keeping my father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and took a sheep from the flock, I would chase it. I would attack it and save the sheep from its mouth. When it attacked me, I caught it by its fur and hit it and killed it. I, your servant, have killed both a lion and a bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like them because he has spoken against the armies of the living God. The Lord who saved me from the lion and a bear will save me from this Philistine. I love that confidence, but nowhere in there was his confidence in himself. His confidence was solely in the God who had already proven himself in David's life. And I wanna tell you today, your past struggles, your past battles, I wanna declare this to you today so you believe it. God wastes nothing in your life. Every battle has prepared you. Every struggle has prepared you for the next giant in your life that's going to be the gateway and doorway to your future. I can say it like this. The battles you faced weren't accidents. They were rehearsals. What looked like survival was actually training. You didn't just survive. God was training. I think we can clap to that today. David knew this, and I think we need to know it and believe it today. The God who saved me, this is what David believed, the God who saved me then will be the God who saves me now. He's the same God, but isn't it human nature? This is what's so impressive about David in this moment. He was able to do something that we are only able to do through discipline as human beings. Because by nature, we see all through the Bible, we see it in our own lives. God can bring us through battle after battle after battle after battle. But let's be honest, when the next battle comes, we start saying, God, where are you? You've abandoned me. And how easily we forget what God has already done. But David shows that it's possible for humans through discipline and remembering and understanding, remembering the lion and the bear from my past. Oh, there have been lions in my life. There have been bears in my life, but God has brought me through. So this guy in front of me doesn't stand a chance, not because of me, but because God has proven himself faithful. Do you guys believe that today? God has proven himself faithful. So you can think about it like this. The lion and the bear, they weren't punishment. They were preparation. They weren't punishment. How many times do we look at things in our lives and go, God abandoned me, it's punishment. Maybe I did something wrong and he's punishing me. And we start questioning all these things. It wasn't punishment for David, it was preparation. David's confidence wasn't in himself, it was in God's track record. Every time there's a new giant in front of you, don't look at your track record. You'll be more fearful. Look at God's. You're here. You're standing. You made it because of God. Look at his track record and let that be the proof for how you can stand confident today. Number three is this. The third thing we need to remember when facing giants, you can't fight giants in someone else's armor. You can't fight giants in someone else's armor. 1 Samuel 17:38 through 40. Then Saul dressed David in his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head and put a coat of mail or armor on him. Then David fastened his sword over his armor and tried to walk, but he could not because he was not used to them. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these because I am not used to them. So David took them off. Then he took his shepherd's staff in his hand and chose for himself five smooth stones out of the stream bed and put them in his bag, which he had. With his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. And I want you to get this imagery. So Saul puts all of his armor on David. David can't move. He's not himself. This wasn't what God had called him to do, or this is not how God called him to fight. He takes the armor off, and immediately the next verse, I want you to pay attention. What does David pick up? He picks up what he's always had, his shepherd's staff and his sling. All you need is what you've always had plus God. All you need is what you've always had plus God. And I want you to remember this. God's anointing won't rest on armor he never asked you to wear. It won't happen. The anointing we talked about last week, it won't happen. God's anointing rests solely on authenticity. That's it. You want to walk in the anointing of God? Walk in the truest form of yourself in the way God defines yourself. Not in the way society says, not in the way you say. But if you want to walk in the anointing, you've got to walk in the way God created you and who he's called you to be. There's always, always, always going to be in our life the temptation of imitation, where we're always gonna be tempted to imitate somebody else, something else, because something's working in their life, so we need to imitate. Now, stay with me. There are certain things in people's lives we need to imitate because they're godly. But it's not what what this story is saying is we just can't put on their methods and their armor because God is anointing you to do what only you can do in the way he's called you to do it. I think we can clap to that too. So here's what I wanna tell you about my life. When I first started in ministry, I became youth pastor here in 2006, and that was kind of the rise of smartphones and social media. And it was the first time in history through social media, the church got to see what other churches were doing, how other pastors were preaching. The only pastors I ever saw preach were live or on TV on Sunday morning. And so we got to see everybody, the styles of preaching, and a few pastors were starting to become famous. And it seemed like every young pastor was starting to imitate and mimic two or three voices of pastors in the country. And there was so much pressure, the mannerisms, the cadence, how they would raise their voice at certain ways, exactly how they would structure their sermon. And I found myself, because of the temptation of imitation, to start imitating other people. And I'll never forget one of my great friends in ministry, Mark Francie, he pastors in California, called me one day and he said, "Hey, Dustin, I was praying for you today and I just felt like God told me to tell you something, that he has designed you a very specific way and he has anointed you to be you and who he's called you to be." He said, "Fight the temptation of imitation. Be you who God has called you to be." Because I was trying to be this orator of the word of God, but the truth is I'm never gonna be this polished orator. All I am is a fast talking, passionate guy who loves to teach the Bible. I talk fast, I'm passionate, I don't have perfect cadence, but I know what God has called me to do, and it's just to be Dustin. And it's the same way with you and whatever he's called you to do. What are your giftings? What's your shepherd's staff? What's your sling? What has he called you to do, and what has he called you to use? And that's all you need, plus him. You don't need what someone else has. You don't need what I talked about last week, their pedigree, their position. You don't need their money. You don't need their notoriety or recognition. You don't need their life. You don't need their marriage. You need what God has given you plus him. Do you guys believe that today? Number four, we're gonna keep moving. The fourth thing we need to remember, you can't conquer what you won't confront. You can't conquer what you won't confront. This is a little bit longer, so stay with me, but this is the part of the story where David faces off with Goliath. Verse 41, "Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. 'Come here,' he said, 'and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals.' David said to the Philistines, 'You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by my sword or spear, but that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching out into his bag, taking out the stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. I love that story. I love it because you can imagine that scene. David running toward this giant. I know he had confidence in God, but I also know he's human. I would have loved to have known the actual doubts he had to overcome while he was running. Have you ever had to run toward a giant you didn't want to run toward? And the whole time you're running, you're saying, God, you better be with me because I just announced that you are. God, you better be with me. I guarantee you, David's human, and I guarantee you he was thinking, God, go before me. I cannot kill this giant on my own. I cannot face it on my own. Israel had listened to this giant for 40 days and did nothing. But the moment someone anointed to be a giant killer stepped out and confronted the giant, everything began to change. And all I can tell you, which is this point, all I can tell you is you can't conquer what you don't confront. Fear always grows. Fear always grows unless it's confronted. The fear in your life, what's happening, a marriage unraveling, the problems need to be addressed. Kids that are walking away from God, we can't turn our heads from it. Whatever is going on in our lives, the fear, insecurity, addictions, the giant is raging, the giant is screaming, the giant is cursing, but God is on our side. What giants are you avoiding in your life today that you need to be confronting? What are they? Because it's time to no longer stand on the sidelines. It might be longer than 40 days for you. It could be 40 years. It could be a year, months, days, whatever it is. What giant are you avoiding? Because here's what we need to remember. The giant you won't face is the giant you can't defeat. The giant you won't face is the giant you can't defeat. And oftentimes we're praying and saying, God, take care of the giant. I wonder how many times the Israelites for 40 days prayed that God would kill the giant. The battle was the Lord's. But someone had to step out and fight. The battle was the Lord's. How many times have we prayed, God, take care of this giant? And God's saying, oh, I'm going to, but I need a warrior. I need someone to step out in faith. I'm gonna take care of this giant, but I need you to fight in the way I've called you to fight. I need you to stand in my confidence. I need you to step out and then watch what I will do. And that's what God says in our lives. Number five is this, the enemy's weapons become your testimony. We need to remember when facing giants that the enemy's weapons become your testimony. 1 Samuel 17:51, just right off the heels of the last scripture I read you about Goliath falling, it says this, so he ran, David ran, stood over the Philistine, picked up his sword and killed him, then cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their mighty champion was dead, they fled. This is a boy, a teenage boy who 1 minute earlier had only ever been a shepherd, had never been a warrior. But because he chose to step out and confront a giant because God had called him to do it, he went from shepherd to warrior in a matter of a minute because God was with him. God was with him. Why did he cut off his head? This is an interesting part of the story. Again, it's not really the Sunday school part that we learned when we were little, but why did David cut off his head? There's a lot of ancient reasons. This was something that people just did, armies did when they fought with champions, representatives from each army. It was just signifying that it is over. But spiritually speaking, there's a lot of symbolism and spiritual meaning because it wasn't good enough for David to knock him down and hope that the giant was finished. It wasn't good enough. David had to knock him down and say, I've got to make sure. And I wonder how many times in our lives that we've had a small victory where the giant fell and we celebrated the giant's death in our lives, but we turned around and walked away to find out that he was never, the giant in our life was never actually dead. It got up and kept roaring just like Goliath over and over and over again. I think the spiritual meaning here is we've got to finish what God has asked us to finish. Whatever the thing is we're battling in our lives, we've got to close the door completely. If it's a sin issue, if it's an addiction, insecurity, whatever it is, we've got to deal with it and say the giant is done and I can't just knock it down. I've got to finish it. Because a fallen giant isn't the same as a finished giant. It's just not the same. I have an image of a sword I want to put on the screen. And when you look at this sword, I can imagine what it was like for David when he walked up and Goliath had fallen down. The sword was probably out of his hand. And David sees this sword and he's thinking, I've got to finish this thing. And I also think as David's looking at the sword, he's thinking that if this went differently, that would have been the tool used to kill me. That was the weapon meant to kill me. Now I'm going to pick up the weapon meant to kill me. And I'm going to kill the enemy who came to kill me. He picks up this sword and cuts off the giant's head. And I want to give us assurance today, spiritually speaking, in our lives. What the enemy tried to use against you can become the weapon God puts in your hand. It can. The enemy tried to take out your marriage. Maybe the enemy succeeded. And your divorce looked like the end. God, you can pick up that weapon that was meant to destroy you and build a testimony of God's faithfulness in your brokenness. You can think about the thoughts of suicide, maybe even the attempts, where Satan used something to try to kill you, but you pick up the weapon now by the grace of God, and you can be a walking testimony that God can have victory, and you can help people that are in that same position. That's what this is about. What the enemy tried to use against you, the greatest thing we can do back to the enemy is use it against him. Pick it up as a testimony. Yeah, you hurt my marriage, but now I can have a thriving one. Yeah, you wounded me with my mental health, but I can prove when I pick up this sword that if I trust in God, I can make it through every valley as I walk through that shadow of death. Yeah, you may have won this battle, but I'm going to win the war when we take up the enemy's sword. The heartache, the diagnosis, the financial problems, all the struggles, we can use it as a testimony of God's goodness. Why is this possible? How is all of this possible? Why is God on our side? All of this is possible simply, and it goes back to what David proclaimed to Goliath as he's running out on the battlefield. He says all of this trash talk kind of stuff, and then he just says, the battle is the Lord's. He was looking at Goliath, the enemy, straight in the eyes saying, I'm the one physically in front of you, but if you could see what's happening in the spiritual realm, Goliath, you would run. Because I'm running at you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, and this is his battle. He's called me to fight, but he will bring the victory. David fought, but the victory and the glory were God's. And when we fight our battles, how we know we can win our battles is if we know it all doesn't depend on me. It depends on God. And I think there's people in the room today, yes, I mean, I wrote it down very specifically, God calls us to step out and fight and not stay on the sidelines. But at the same time, David's not actually walking out on this battlefield thinking his shepherd's staff and a sling are going to win this entire battle. He has to have God, and we do too. And so I wanna encourage you today, yeah, you gotta step out, but there are people in the room today at our North campus, at our Maui campus, there's people today, I believe today, we've gotta hand this battle to God and say, God, I've tried to wear all the pressure of bringing my child back to God, saving my marriage, having victory in my mental health, overcoming the depression, fixing all of our finances. I have tried my entire life to carry this weight on my own and I can't. Yes, God, I'm committed. I'm gonna go out and fight the battle, but God, I need this to be yours. I need the victory to be yours. I'm gonna give you glory when this comes to pass. That's the posture that we have to have, or we're gonna lose over and over and over to the giant. So when you think about that sword and what God's called you to do today, what giant are you facing? What giant is God calling you to finish off today? And what part of the battle are you not giving to him? Because the battle is the Lord's. And I promise you, you are equipped right now, plus God, to defeat the giant in front of you. Do you guys believe that today? Awesome. Hey, I'm gonna ask you at all three campuses to stand with me. I wanna pray. I wanna pray, and then we're gonna sing a song today to close out as an anthem. But we're very on time today, a little early, so I would like to ask no one to leave unless it's an emergency. This is a special moment. If you're in the room today here at our North Campus or our Maui Campus, and you're in the room and you're just saying, hey, there's a giant in my life and I'm fighting a giant right now and I would just like some prayer. Would you just raise your hand right where you are? I know there's so many people. I'm facing a giant. I just look around for a second. I mean, there's people in our church here, North Maui. We're gonna pray with you, for you. And we're gonna pray today and believe that this victory can be God's, that you can have victory and this giant can be finished for good. And also today, if you're here today, and you don't need to bow your heads, close your eyes, but if you're here today and all of this victory that I'm talking about, yes, God is for us, but he is for us and the battle is his and he is our champion only when we are found in Jesus Christ. Only when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we put our faith in Jesus and say, hey, I recognize my own sin. I recognize what Jesus did on the cross for me. He died for me. He died as me to pay the penalty for my sin, to cover my sin, to save me. And here's the amazing thing. Romans 10 tells us the way to salvation is so simple. It's all about faith, but it says all we need to do is confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and we will be saved. Today, can we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord? And do we believe that he is alive and wants relationship with us today? So if you're in the room and you don't know where you stand exactly, but today you wanna make sure, you want me to include you in this final prayer to say, I want to commit my life to Jesus Christ and I want the battle to be the Lord's as I face the giants in my life. Would you just raise your hand right where you are here, North and Maui, just right where you are, amazing. Keep them up just for a second. Gosh, this is amazing. Would you give all of these just a huge round of applause? Such a special, special moment. You can put your hands back down. I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna sing. And if you raised your hand for either, as I pray for your group, I want you to pray with me and make the prayer your own today. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today and we thank you for being the God who fights our battles. But God, today you're calling us to be Davids. You're calling us to, by faith, to walk out onto the battlefield, face the giant, stare the giant in his eyes and say, today the battle is the Lord's. And God, I pray for every person facing a giant, whether that giant is sickness, a diagnosis, God, a giant in their marriage, a giant with a child, something happening where the enemy is spewing lies. God, the enemy is keeping them up at night. There is a giant, God, that is standing in front of them that has brought fear. Today, the giant goes down. Today, the giant is finished, not in our power, but in yours, God. We declare it today and we believe it. God, we also today, for all of those that raised their hand to be in right standing with you, God, by Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, we put our faith in Jesus today. We put our faith in him as Lord and Savior. We confess with our mouths, Jesus, you are Lord. And we believe in our hearts that you are raised from the dead and want relationship with us today. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen.